理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 31. A Storm. Father Pirard told Julien the news.
The Marquis gave you some money. He has also settled his lawsuit with Vicar General de Frilair, the Jesuit. He's too powerful for us to fight. Part of the agreement is that the priest must recognize your noble birth.
Julien thanked his good friend and left for Strasbourg. He was filled with ambition. He was surprised by a servant from Hotel de la Mole with a letter from Matilda.
Come quickly. All is lost, I fear. I love you.
He was in Paris very soon. Matilda fell into his arms.
My father has gone, but here's his letter.
I can forgive many things, but Julien seduced you because you're rich. I will never allow you to marry this man. I asked people about him, and eventually I talked to Mrs. de Renal.
Where is the letter from Mrs. de Renal? He asked coldly.
Here it is.
Letter.
Religion forces me to tell you this. This man was poor and ambitious, and he seduced an unhappy woman to gain some power. I think he has no religious faith. He leaves nothing behind but pain and regret.
I cannot blame Marquis de la Mole, Julien said. What father would give his daughter to a man like that? He left for Verrières immediately. He arrived on Sunday morning. Julien walked into the new church and saw Mrs. de Renal in prayer. He saw the woman who had loved him. His arm shook as he raised his gun. He fired a shot at her and missed. He fired a second shot. She fell. Chapter 32. Sorry Problems. Everyone in the church ran out quickly. Julien felt a hand on his neck. It was a police officer. They took him to the prison.
It's all over, Julien said. In 2 weeks I'll go to the guillotine.
Mrs. de Renal was not going to die. She was only hit in the shoulder, but she wanted to die. She wanted Julien to kill her. She gave some money to Elisa, her maid.
Take this to the prison guard. I want him to treat Julien well.
A judge came to the prison. Julien said,
I killed her, and I plan to kill her. The law says I must die, and I am ready for it.
There is only one thing left, Julien thought. I must write to Matilda. I have taken my revenge. I'm sorry everyone will talk about me. You should never talk about me, even to my son. 1 year after I die, you must marry Marquis de Croisenois. Don't write to me. I won't answer. After writing the letter, Julien became deeply unhappy. While he was thinking, the guard came to talk to him.
You know, the guard said, she isn't dead. Mrs. de Renal is getting better.
For the first time, Julien believed in God. He was truly sorry for what he had done. This woman had taken away all of his happiness, but he didn't hate her. She will live, he thought. She will live to forgive and love me. Chapter 33. A Prison. The police moved Julien to another prison in Besançon. Father Chelan came to visit Julien.
Oh God, is this possible, my child? Monster, I should say.
The kind old man could not talk any more. Julien saw his old teacher openly weep. For the first time, Julien thought about killing himself. He wanted to be brave, though. He wanted to die without fear. Fouquet also came to visit him. Julien's friend was full of sorrow, and he kept talking about an escape. Fouquet's plan was to sell all his land to help Julien. This man would sacrifice everything, Julien thought. What man from Paris would do this? Fouquet sold wood to many people. One person was Vicar General de Frilair. Fouquet bowed before the priest and begged him to help Julien. Mr. de Frilair was surprised by Julien's actions. Maybe I can benefit from this, the priest thought. Perhaps I can use him to make friends with Marquis de la Mole, who likes this little student. Chapter 34. A Powerful Man. The next morning Julien woke up very early and saw a peasant woman. When she threw herself into his arms, Julien realized it was Matilda.
"You beast,"
she said.
"Until I got to Verrières, I didn't know about your crime. It was noble revenge, and it shows you have a good heart."
"I had planned your future," Julien said. "After I died, you would marry Marquis de Croisenois. He would accept a widow. If people hear that you came to Besançon, it will hurt Marquis de la Mole."
"I came using my maid's passport. People won't know it's me."
She studied Julien. In her eyes, he was Boniface de la Mole, but even more heroic. Matilda did not want people to notice her, but the whole town did. After a week of waiting, she managed to meet Vicar General de Frilair. She was very afraid, but when she met the Vicar General, she became calm. This man was not so evil. He might be someone from Paris. Matilda admitted her real name.
"I want you to help me free Mr. de la Vernay."
The Vicar General was surprised. Matilda showed him Julien's army papers.
"My father gave him this name after we married in secret."
The priest's face changed slowly from a friendly one to an ambitious one. He knew Matilda was friends with Mrs. de Fervac. Perhaps he could become a bishop. "If 36 people were chosen for a jury, I would have at least 10 friends. I'm sure I could have him found not guilty." Then the priest told her what everyone in Besançon knew. Julien and Mrs. de Renal were lovers. "It could be that jealousy caused this crime," he said. "She has been seeing a priest from Dijon, a Jansenist. He is without morals, like all of them. Why else would he choose to shoot her in the church?" These words hurt Matilda. "I have control of this beautiful woman now," the priest thought. Chapter 35. Peace. Later, two lawyers came. They were Julien's defense.
"It was murder," Julien said. "I am very sorry about it, but you have little work to do."
"I must be braver than these men," Julien thought. "They fear death, but I will not think about it until the day it comes." One lawyer believed, like most of Besançon, that jealousy was Julien's reason. He said this could be a good defense.
"If you value your life," Julien said angrily, "you will never say that lie again."
The names of the jury members were soon chosen. Vicar General de Frilair was happy to see that the list had 5 members of the congregation and 3 of his friends from Verrières. Mr. Valneau, Mr. de Moirod, and Mr. de Cholin. "I can control these 8 people," the priest said. The newspaper printed the names, and Mrs. de Renal left Verrières for Besançon. Mr. de Renal allowed her, as long as she never left her room.
"I am now a liberal, and if you do anything, it will cause me trouble," he said.
When she arrived in Besançon, she wrote a letter to every person on the jury asking that they let Julien go free. Chapter 36. The Trial. At last the day of the trial came. Fouquet was shocked. The whole province had come to Besançon to see the romantic trial.
"We will win this trial," Vicar General de Frilair said to Matilda. "I can count on half of the jury to vote how I wish. Mr. Valneau owes everything to me, and I told the others to vote with him."
"What kind of man is Mr. Valneau?"
Matilda asked.
"He was born to be a leader of fools. He will fight the others until they agree.
Julien did not want to speak at the trial.
These people from the provinces want to see me killed.
My sacrifices have inspired them,
Matilda said.
One word from you, and the public will support you.
When he entered the courtroom, Julien saw many women in the audience. One was Mrs. Derville.
Oh no, he thought, she'll tell Mrs. de Renal.
The prosecutor talked for a long time. Julien looked to the jury and saw Mr. Valnau staring at him. He'll be happy to see me killed, Julien thought. Julien had decided not to speak, but at the end he changed his mind.
I am not asking you for mercy, he said. I tried to murder a great woman. I deserve to die for that. But that is not my only crime. To you, I am a rebellious peasant. You want to punish me because I tried to make myself better. I was educated, and I joined society. For that, I will be punished. Because none of you are like me. You are all rich men, and you were never poor.
Julien talked like this for 20 minutes. All the women were weeping, even Mrs. Derville. It was not until 2 o'clock in the morning that the jury made their decision. Mr. Valnau walked in slowly and read the decision. Julien was guilty. The sentence was death. What a victory for Mr. Valnau, thought Julien. He has won. And now I'll never see Mrs. de Renal again.
Chapter 37. Reluctant to be apart.
Julien was woken up by the feeling of tears on his hand.
It's Matilda again, he thought. He opened his eyes to see Mrs. de Renal weeping. Is it true? Am I seeing you before I die? He said. Oh, but I'm just a murderer to you,
Mrs. de Renal said.
Please sign the appeal.
Forgive me.
If you want me to forgive you, please sign the appeal.
He kissed her all over. Will you come see me every day? He asked.
I swear I will, unless my husband forbids me.
Then I'll sign the appeal, he cried. After a while, they could talk again.
Mrs. de Renal told Julien that her priest had forced her to write the letter to Marquis de La Mole.
What about Miss de La Mole?
She asked.
I've heard about this strange romance.
It's only true on the surface, he replied. She is my wife, but she isn't my love.
I feel for you what I should feel for God,
she said.
I don't think I will live long after you die.
Julien stood up and said, I will not sign the appeal unless you promise me that you will not take your life. You must live. You must take care of my son. Matilda will leave him with servants.
I swear I will not take my life.
Chapter 38. Facing the Death.
Mrs. de Renal returned to Besançon.
My first duty is to you,
she said, kissing him.
I ran away from Verrières.
No words could express the amount of Julien's love. Julien wanted to be a gentleman to Matilda, but every time his love for Mrs. de Renal was stronger. Matilda learned that Marquis de Croisenois died. Another man had made some bad jokes about Matilda, and the Marquis had challenged him to a duel. The other man won, and one of Paris's best men died at 23 years old. Poor Croisenois, Julien said.
Now you must marry Mr. Deluz. He's more ambitious, but he'll marry Julien Sorel's widow.
A widow who has seen her lover prefer another woman. A woman that caused all our suffering,
Matilda said. Matilda was jealous, but she loved her faithless lover even more. Julien, however, lived for Mrs. de Renal's love. He never thought about the future. The air in Julien's cell had become very bad. On the day Julien was told he would die, The countryside was full of bright sunshine. He was full of courage. He had never looked so handsome as he did when his head was about to fall. Everything happened simply and with no troubles. Before that day, Julien told Fouquet to take Mathilde and Mrs. de Rênal away. "I'd like to rest," Julien said, "in the mountains outside of Verrières. Many times I stopped to rest there, and my heart was filled with ambition." Mathilde returned to Fouquet's room.
"I want to see him,"
she said. Fouquet brought her to his body. She took Julien's head and kissed his forehead. Fouquet could not watch. Many priests went with the body to Julien's tomb. Mathilde rode along in a carriage, carrying the head of the man she loved so much. They went to one of the highest mountains, and 20 priests said prayers for the dead. Alone with Fouquet, Mathilde insisted on burying her lover's head alone. Mrs. de Rênal kept her promise. She did not try to end her own life, but 3 days after Julien was guillotined, she died with a broken heart.